Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, from their prayer cabin in the beautiful hills of Arkansas, join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for a special time of reflection on your covenant promises of God. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And Gloria, you look beautiful this morning.
Thank you.
I believe it's this Arkansas sunshine.
I'm back to my element.
Praise God. Listen, we're here in Southwest Arkansas this week. You know, we've come up here almost every year. I think we missed maybe 1 or 2 years for a long time. And
it's very famous. It's the birthplace of Gloria Copeland.
Yes. Amen. I'm glad.
However, they do not have any signs to say that. We're keeping it a secret.
So, when Gloria and I got married nearly 50 years ago now,
believe it or not,
her grandmother and grandfather gave us 4 acres out of one of his places. He was in the peach business. He had peach orchards, and there was an orchard here. There was one just right in front of this place here. And then 1-2 miles up the road there where Gloria was born. And he had several of them around like that. And on this particular piece of property, they had pretty well farmed it out, and those trees were not doing well. And so they had pushed them up, and the trees weren't here. So, I mean, it's just a ragged little old piece of property. And the Lord and Pop
was a pastor when we got it.
Gave us just this 4 acres right around the main house there. Well, that day we came out here, and I was just standing down there just praising the Lord and looking out over the back there. And I knew it was the Lord that just I didn't have a vision or anything like that. I just where you just could see something in your mind. And I just saw that little pond sitting there. I thought, you know, that little creek runs down in there and goes out down there like that. Yeah, you could just dam that off right there and make a nice pond. And then you could fill it full of fish, and then you could swim in it. And I just stand there thinking like that. I said, Lord, thank you for that. Well, a few days later, we called the conservation people. What do you know? They had just put in a program.
Oh, yeah.
Good. And so with that program, they said, well, yes, we would like for you to have a pond there. We will build it for you. And it didn't cost, it cost us almost nothing. And he said, we'll have to survey it. I said, yeah, the dam goes from that tree over there to this tree over here. Well, we'll have to survey it. They came out there and surveyed it and said, the perfect place is from that tree over there to this tree over here. The Lord had just shown it to me, you know. I didn't go walk it off or nothing. And it became very important to us from that moment that this was a place of prayer. And, I mean, years and years and years, like I said, have gone by. And we would come up here and pray, and God would show us things, and we would put that into practice. We were praying about going on television. And I thought we were already busy.
Yeah.
Since 7 days a week was about all you could do. And I didn't know how we'd know, what are we going to do about this television thing? I knew it was coming, but we'd been up here praying and just praising God all one weekend. And back then there wasn't a house here. We just brought our little tents up or whatever and usually put them down in that bottom. We left here. We stopped in Texarkana for breakfast on the way back to Fort Worth. We walked in the restaurant.
It was the breakfast that changed the world.
Yeah, amen. And we just walked in and sat down. There was no lightning flashes. There was no, I mean, hey, it was just breakfast. They set us down in this booth. I looked at Gloria, she looked at me. And I thought, why not? I said, Gloria, let's go on television. She said, I think we should. Now, we didn't have a clue about how. The only thing I knew about television was, that, you know, how to turn it on
you
and off.
You probably didn't even have a remote control.
Not back
those.
Then. You had to get up out of your chair and go across the
Boy,
room and
that's
change
the
it.
The old days.
If you had a set. And so she looked at me and she said, well, yeah. All of a sudden, it looked like the easiest thing you ever did. And when you move in the plans of God, and we're going to be talking about that on these broadcasts. When you seek first the kingdom, what is the kingdom doing? What do I do here? Why am I here? Why do I do what I do? Has absolutely nothing to do with the world's economy. It has nothing to do with that world's system.
That's right.
It is a kingdom that is functioning, has its own government. And a kingdom, the word kingdom, king, D-O-M, dom. Dom stands for domain. King and his domain. The domain that the king has authority over. And when it's time, and when you move into something like that, and it's time to do it, you don't fuss with how or where we gonna get the money. Nobody told you to get the money. You just get the directions. The scripture says, getting wisdom, get understanding. Seek that. And so we'd been seeking that. The moment it became that time to move, we didn't know what to do, but that didn't seem to matter. This was on a Sunday. And so we decided, well, tomorrow's Monday. Let's just do what we can do. But in our hearts, we were on television. Now, that's the way this kingdom works. Most people, including us, a lot of times, and it caused a lot of trouble. And God, I've noticed this in times past, God would say to someone, I want you to build a church. Okay, and just jump and run out there. Why you do this and you do that? He don't even know where the church is supposed to be. And then go to the bank to get the money, or go to somebody else and get the money. If they won't give it to you, beg for it. No. You've only got the first step. Just be still and know that He is God.
Amen.
And seek His kingdom. You are the king. If you lived under a king, you don't just go do whatever you want to do. Nobody does. You do what the king says.
That's right.
And under that form of government, Jesus is the only man that qualifies to be king and final authority over a kingdom because his decisions are right. His decisions are never self-based. His decisions are never to promote himself. He promotes the Father. His decisions don't need to be changed because
That's
in
right.
His decisions are the power to bring themselves to pass. Amen. So now, what if it was against the law for you to decide what you're going to do in life? Against the law. You couldn't do that. You know, it is in some countries.
Yeah.
In fact, the United States and the when this nation was developed by the people, for the people, it was really the first free place where you could make your own decisions and go your own way. Well, the beautiful part about that was we live under a king, and when he created you to where your most joyous, your most happiest place on this earth is what he created you to be. And it may not sound like it to you at first, but when you go get into that, oh man, it works for you. That's where you're at your best, and your accomplishments are thrilling. Even if you didn't think that's what you wanted to do. But when you get in there, that's where your wealthy place is. It's right for you. Amen. Well, it's wonderful to live in a place where the natural government will allow you to fully express that.
That's right.
Now, that's where governments get in the way, because they get in the way of God. But if you will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His being right.
His way of doing things.
Yeah. He's right first time. That's the reason you don't need to change. If you'll do that, all of these things will be added to you,
even inside
a government that doesn't even believe there is a God, and they declare what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to say and where you're supposed to live and what your vocation is and blah, blah, blah. It'll still work.
It'll work.
Because God is God. Amen. But most people don't do that. Most people think seeking first the kingdom of God is just going to church. That's part of it, but that's not seeking first the kingdom, because I know and you know people, that I'm talking to people right now, that really the Word of God has very little effect on your life moment by moment. Now, you've made Jesus your Lord and your Savior. You received Him into your heart and may have even been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've spoken with other tongues. That may be the last time you ever spoke with other tongues. If that's true, then that's not right. So, when the Word comes, well, you know, you just make your decisions and do the best you can, and your decisions are based on logic, one step to the other. If you get a little, they offer you a little raise on that job over there, you just ask God to bless it and go on over there. May not have been God at all. If it wasn't, it's not right, you're in the wrong place, and you're going to fight sickness, disease, disaster. You're going to be in struggle all the time in your family. You're struggling all the time in the ways and of life. Doesn't seem like anything works right because you're not in the right place. All of your deliverance and all of your good stuff and all the healing stuff and all of that is all out there somewhere, and you're in a place where you don't really know what it is. God called Abram, and the first thing He told him to do was leave where you are and go to a city that I'll show you. I'm going to take you there step by step. Well, now, why did He tell him that? Because he's in the wrong place. Now, He said, lift up your eyes and look from you, north, south, east, west. I was doing some broadcast with Jeremy, our grandson, and he did a whole daily on this.
He did.
It was powerful. Looking up from you, quit looking right here.
That's
lift up your eyes and
lift
look.
Lift up your eyes. Isn't that wonderful?
Look out from you, and God told him, if you'll do that, I'll give you everything you can see in a 360 degree circle. I'll give it all to you. Now, he had to be standing in that spot. If he'd have been standing over there out of that circle, he wouldn't have been able to do that.
Oh, tell me if I'm wrong about this, because I would go back and check it, except I don't have time. But in the natural, he would have seen Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham would have seen Sodom and Gomorrah in the natural, where he was headed, wouldn't he?
It was in that...
That was the going place.
It was, yeah. That was the natural boom towns.
Yeah.
That's where all the action was. Bad action, but that's where
right.
it was. And you remember this. This is good, because this comes right into play here. When he and Lot divided, the blessing of the Lord was just too much for the local government and those people around there. Man, they were just being overwhelmed by it. They didn't realize that they could have been part of it had they helped them, but they wanted their own, and it seemed like they were just absorbing everything in the country they were. But they were the reason why the country was blessed. When they divided, Abram said, well, you go ahead and pick the part you want. So Lot picked everything that looked good, mm-hmm. all the green grass and all of everything that looked good. But you have to remember this, Gloria. The blessing was on Abraham. The only reason it was on Lot was because he was Abraham's nephew. So
that's right.
It could have been on him had he picked up on it and said, Father Abraham, I'm here to help you. I'm not dividing from you. I'm staying with you. But he didn't. He was just doing his own thing all the time. But as long as he stayed close to Abraham, that blessing was mm-hmm. on him. So he picked everything that looked good and left all the scrub out there for Abraham. But Abraham didn't pay attention to that. And the blessing of the Lord hit all that over there. And Lot wound up with Sodom and Gomorrah.
So Abraham had the blessing. He brought the blessing. Mm-hmm. And the blessing manifest.
Yeah. And when he moved over there on his part, it just blossomed and it just, you know.
Well, look at this place. Was a pile of rocks.
Literally.
Literally
a pile of
rocks.
Yeah. And the blessing of the Lord came up.
The kids were just little and I had them picking up rocks. You'd have thought I'd send them to
Kelly, China
or somewhere.
Kelly and her family came up here. They were here earlier this week. And she told me, she was laughing. She said, Mama walked out there with two great big grocery sacks and gave one to me and gave one to John and said, go get the rocks out of the yard. She said, Daddy, you can't get the rocks out of this yard. This yard is rocks. But she had them out there.
But we subdued it.
Amen. So I saw places in Israel years ago, driving down a highway. I'm talking about 35 years ago. On this side of the road was alkaline dirt that just wouldn't produce. It's just dry, beat up,
barren
land. And this is going to take us right into the word that we're going to be seeing this in. Here's the highway. From the edge of the highway out here, man, it looked like this. I mean, it was gorgeous. Fruit, produce, and of course, Israel is the leading nation that exports produce all over the world. They produce more fruit, more honey, and milk and honey. That's what the Bible talks about, the blessing. They produce more milk and honey and produce than any other nation in the world. And over here, just barren. And my driver said, Brother Copeland, I want you to look at this now, because he said, right here, all of this land is owned by other people of different backgrounds and tribes and everything. Mm-hmm. They own all that and have for years and years and years and years and years.
But they weren't Abraham's people.
But over here, look at this. He said, this looked just like that until Israel was established. And now it's turned into this. Well, now, since then, that over there has turned into this. Now, here's a big thing. Of course, the world doesn't even know about this because the news media, nobody else tells them about it. We saw it in Mr. Netanyahu's speech before Congress here.
That was excellent.
A few weeks ago, which was just dynamite. And he brought it out. The only free Arabs in the world are Israeli citizens. They are free to practice their religion any way they desire. They're free not to have any religion. They're the only free Arabs in the world. And those Arabs that are Israeli citizens, their land, it blossoms and just does well. But those that are fighting against Israel are living in a cursed place. Now, let's get over here, Gloria, in Jeremiah. I want to read first in this 17th chapter. We've read this before many times on this broadcast, but let's look at it now. I want to bring this out and establish it in the these couple of minutes we've got left, and then we'll get into this in tomorrow's broadcast. Thus saith the Lord. Now, who's saying?
The Lord.
The Lord.
Jehovah.
Cursed be the man that trusts in man. Let me remind you, Deuteronomy 30:19. Behold, saith the Lord, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life, that you and your seed might
you
live.
It.
Now, I want you to notice where this man slipped off that choice. Thus saith the man, cursed be the man. This fifth verse, 17:5.
Thus saith the Lord, yeah.
Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man. Mm-hmm. Now, Gloria, notice this. Did God curse him? No. He decided to choose man as his source of supply. Without God, everything is cursed. God doesn't have to curse it. It's already cursed. The curse hit this place when Adam separated himself
from
God
and
allowed the father of the curse, Satan himself, to roam around seeking whom he may devour. All right. Makes flesh his arm. He looks to the government for his supply. Whose heart departs from the Lord. So he made the right choice in the beginning, but then he drifted off of it and got his eyes on man and on the government and on his benefits, what the government entitled him to. So he'll be like the heath or like a little dead shrub in the desert. Shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. Now, why is it that way? Because he chose the wrong source for his supply. He chose the wrong kingdom, and he has now the wrong reasons to live. He's living to put food on the table, put clothes on his back, and
he's doing what he can do.
Yeah, what he can do.
Without God.
Without God. So he's now, everything around him is cursed.
I remember what we could do without God. It wasn't much.
You don't even want to go there. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. So now he has chosen God as his sole source of supply. Whatever God says, this is the right choice.
That's right.
Whose hope the Lord is,
glory
or his
God.
Future. He'll be as a tree planted by the water that spreads out her roots. She spreads out her roots first by the river and shall not see when heat comes. Her leaf shall be green. Why? Because her roots are deep.
Mm-hmm.
And shall not be careful or cautious in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Praise
Amen.
God.
Glory to God.
Now we're going to find out how to get out of that desert and get over here by the river.
Praise
the Lord.
Lord,
it has nothing to do with the world's economy, except it is the answer for the world's economy.
That's exactly right.
Amen. Gloria and I'll be back in just a moment.
When God said, let there be light. At 186,000 miles a second, the universe was born. The creative power released in those words lives inside you right now. The first thing God did after he created human life was to give mankind the blessing. You cannot earn it, buy it, or demand it. The blessing is the very creative force of God that is given to every believer, setting them up to thrive. Kenneth Copeland's latest book, The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and Adds No Sorrow to It, is the result of over 40 years of study, practice, and down-to-earth insights on the blessing. Filled with real-world examples that transformed Kenneth from debt and doubt to a lifestyle of health, wealth, and peace. Living less than blessed, knowing there's more to life than what you see, failure is not an option, and success is guaranteed when you unlock God's blessing in your life. Make the change. Start today. Order The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow with It, the newest book by Kenneth Copeland. Go to kcm.org and purchase your copy today for only $19.99 and save 20%. Discover the keys to living every day completely blessed, the keys that changed Kenneth Copeland's life forever. Go online or call our toll-free number and order The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow With It today. God has empowered you to succeed. It's time for you to live blessed.
God, in the Garden of Eden, set the eternal pattern for man.
He did.
I want my family to live like me. I want them to have the very best, and I'm going to give them the joy of creating this garden in all of the earth. I'm just going to start them this little spot right here, and they're just going to go all, it's going to be the garden spot of the universe, and when they get done, I'm going to move in with them. I'm going to move the heavenly city, the heavenly Jerusalem to the earth, and he never changes. Why? He's right the first time. He didn't need to change.
That's right.
And he did things in the very best. So that Garden of Eden should have been the worst condition man ever experienced, because God said, I have not seen, near as ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. The things that God has in store.
Yeah, and the blessing always increases. It doesn't stay the same.
Well, that's because he put the power on them. He called it the blessing. The Jews have translated the very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, the Blessed One said. And so the Blessed One created the earth with the power of the blessing.
Anyway,
that's what the book is about. And so you'll like it. So do whatever you need on the screen there to get yours. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kendall from Gloria reminding you, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Live It East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th in Secaucus, New Jersey. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information, go to kcm.org.